Hey there, guys, and welcome back to the Travis and Damien podcast, episode 135. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and more. Today, we are talking about Princess Peach Showtime, Marvel Rivals, Spider Within, and more. But as usual, we're going to start with our recent activities. We'll let Damien take the floor.
Yeah, so, after playing, like, two giant-ass JRPGs, honestly, I, like, kind of burnt out of, like, beating games, like, single-player games. And, like, I just need to, like, play some multiplayer stuff and, like, just chill with a stream on the other monitor. You know how it is. I can't. I'm just like, I need to let my brain rot. So I just resubbed to Final Fantasy 14. I was just doing some daily stuff, you know, just doing dungeons, catching up on content I missed. And it's been great. You know, I love Final Fantasy 14. I don't know if I said that enough during this podcast, but Dawn Trail is coming out soon. They showed the release date during PAX East, I believe. Yeah, it was PAX East panel. And of course, it's coming out the weekend. I won't be here. so I'm like, really cool. But, you know, that's still fine. I kind of, like, everyone was saying it was either going to be that weekend or early July. I'm like, I really hope it's early July, but it's not. But, you know, that's whatever. So 14 is a really great time. I've been really enjoying the expansion and just catching up all the stuff I've been missing. Because, you know, the game releases last year was, you know, insane. And this year as well. So I haven't been able to really play, like, any 14 too much. So it's nice to just go back into the swing of things, do my daily and weekly shit, and just have a good time. Same goes for Hearthstone. I've actually been playing, like, a lot of Hearthstone, like, the last, like, year. This year, so the last, like, 3 months or something. I've been playing a lot of Battlegrounds, which is, like, the auto chess version of Hearthstone. I think I've explained this before. But, yeah, Battlegrounds is a lot of fun. You know, it's basically, like, an even simpler version of, like, all the other auto chess formats. You know, like, usually you would have, you know, it's not the same structure, but you have, like, minion factions and stuff, and you could upgrade your minions if you buy, like, you know, three of them and they combine into one of them, you know. So a lot of the same mechanics apply. You know, eight players, you know, if people buy the minions you need, it's out of the loot pool or whatever, you know, all that stuff is still the same. But in Hearthstone, there's no items, you know, like in TFT, so there's no items that you have to worry about. While there are the minion factions, they don't really have, like, set bonuses, so in TFT, you would be like, oh, if you have, like, two, like, I don't know, fucking Yordles, you get, like, +2 speed. I don't know what it gives you. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, Hearthstone doesn't have that. Like, they have the factions, but the cards kind of, like, play into each other. So if you have a bunch of Murlocs, you could summon one that gives all your other Murlocs, like, +1/+1 or something. So that's kind of how it works in this game. So, yeah, it just leads into a bit more of a simple gameplay loop. You could pick a random hero at the start, and there's, like, a shit ton of heroes, like 24 different heroes or something with a different hero ability you could do. Some of them are good, some of them are bad, but, you know, kind of adds to that randomness, which Hearthstone is kind of, like, known for at this point. That's why I don't really get mad playing that game, because there's just so much RNG. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy Battlegrounds a lot, and I've actually been getting back into normal Hearthstone again as well, like, this last week. I just had a bunch of gold laying around, which is, like, the in-game currency you can use to buy packs. And I opened up a bunch of packs with all the gold I had. I'm like, you know what? I can make a deck. And, yeah, just playing ranked again. I've been winning a lot, and it feels good. I'm like, I don't know. Hearthstone just scratches that itch, and I haven't really had that, like, card game itch in a while. But me playing it again, it's very satisfying. Again, like I said, a lot of RNG, a lot of bullshit you can't really predict. But it makes it a little less – for me, it makes it less angry to lose just because it's like, oh, I died to some bullshit, whatever. But, yeah, I've been having a really good time with Hearthstone again, so that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
And next, I watched Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. And, you know, I think this movie has been, you know, some critics are like, oh, it's, like, not that great. And then the audience really likes it and stuff. It's one of those movies. You know, I agree with the audience. I fucking loved it. I mean, I'm really easy to impress with Godzilla. And, you know, I think there's a point to be made with -1 came out early or late last year. And then this movie's coming out this year and saying, all right, Godzilla shouldn't just be, like, giant monster fights, like, it should be deeper than that, or, you know, Godzilla needs to fight another monster, that's why, like, -1 isn't as good or whatever. And, you know, I think Godzilla really exists in both camps. Like, he could kind of be, like, a more symbol of destruction, metaphorical type beat, I guess, what the original Godzilla did, what Shin Godzilla did, and what -1 did, and it works super well. Like, you have a really strong human cast that are able to carry that movie, and, you know, when Godzilla shows up, it feels like a real, like, a horrible event that's happening, and that stuff is great. Like, -1 probably is the best Godzilla movie. Like, it's super good. Same thing with Shin Godzilla as well. However, the MonsterVerse movies just takes it in the other direction, where it's like, okay, you like most people remember Godzilla for him fighting stupid monsters and just having a good time and stuff, and the human plots don't matter at all. And you know, I think that's what the MonsterVerse movies, that's hard to say, do really well. Yeah. And you know, that's kind of the Godzilla I grew up with anyway. Like I grew up with like Godzilla just fighting a bunch of monsters. Like, who gives a shit about the humans? Have a good time. And I personally think each MonsterVerse movie gets better and better. Like, I've been enjoying each one more and more because they keep adding, like, all right, here's more monsters. Here's just more monster scenes, like no humans at all. And it's great. And I think in this movie it works even better just because the, you know, the main enemy are like a bunch of Kongs and you could just emote them a lot better. So there's like some scenes that are like at least 5 to 7 minutes where there's literally no humans at all. Like, it's just Kong doing stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think it works really well because it does like its non-verbal storytelling really well. The monkeys are really expressive and stuff whenever they're doing stuff. I think for once the MonsterVerse made an actually really cool original villain, since I think most of the villains they make are kind of lame. Like, the Muto in 2014 was like whatever. Like, most of the villains are from Toho's own catalog. So like King Ghidorah was cool because, you know, he was very cool. But all the other monsters they make are usually kind of lame. Scar King was pretty cool though. Like, I liked his design. He was pretty threatening. I think they could have had one more fight in the middle. There was only like really two major fights with him. And there's a bunch of fights in the movie, but there's only really like two with him. I think they could have used like one more in there. But besides that, it's a really fun movie. I mean, you get what you get, right? Like, it's monsters fighting each other. Like, you're not going to get anything too deep. Like, there's some cringy human stuff, but it's like, whatever. Like, I'm there to see the monsters kill each other. And I'm glad Godzilla could exist in both camps at the same time. Like, I'm excited to see what Toho does with wherever they go with Minus One. And I'm excited to see the next MonsterVerse movie because they both scratched that itch of Godzilla. And I'm just happy he's doing super well. Like, I think they made like $200 million in the box office or something crazy like that. So clearly people love these movies as well. So I'm really happy for it. I had a really good time watching it. And last, I have Princess Peach Showtime. So we both have played this. I believe Travis finished it. I don't know how far I'm in. I think I'm like, I beat three bosses. I'd be at like three bosses, so I think floor three.
So you're now on the third or fourth floor, something like that?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're like, I would say 60, 70% through.
Okay.
Yeah, because so, the basement floor was the last thing I had to do, because I forgot that was like a thing. But
oh, no, I was doing those as well.
Oh, okay, then you're good.
So yeah, like Princess Peach Showtime, I think is really fun. It kind of reminds me a lot of like Kirby's Epic Yarn or some of those other games where it's like yes, it's like easy, you know, but it's not really like meant for that. Like, I think the game's real strength is kind of its presentation and just how it goes about its level design. So that's pretty interesting level design where it's like really like show PC, right? Like, it's like, here's all these cool things happening in the level. You know, you go through like a little story within each level, you get your power up, you do the thing, and then you win, right? And I think it's really fun to play through those levels like one time because you're like experiencing that sort of like a play, basically, which is kind of what it's going for. I think the issue is like if you want to get more collectibles and stuff, because I don't like replaying levels isn't as fun because you already know all the scripted events that are going to happen, and you know, it does not like a lot of movement tech or anything, right? Like, you can't exactly go faster and make the level go faster. So it kind of just feels more of a slog if you try like 100% it, which I was trying to do at first, but maybe now I won't because I'm just like, I want to just like play the levels because I think they're all fun. Like, I think all the power-ups are, at least the ones I played through, have been pretty fun. Like, Mighty Peach is fun. You just, like, pick shit up and throw it. Sword Fighter, I think, is a lot of fun. Even ones I didn't think would be very fun, I actually ended up liking quite a bit. Like, I actually liked Detective Peach, at least the first level I did with her. Like, oh, this is kind of fun. Obviously, it's, like, baby's first, like, oh, find the thing. But, again, I don't think that's a problem. Like, I think people... I think it's kind of where you find your enjoyment in video games. Like, I could appreciate what a game is trying to do while it being difficult. I know some people need difficulty for a game to be fun. And, you know, I enjoy difficult games as well. But I could also appreciate when a game is kind of just trying to do something creative and, like, just kind of fun. That's why I like Kirby games so much, right? So, and this game kind of gives a big Kirby vibe as well. And yeah, I just think the levels are fun to go through. I just don't think they're too fun to go through more than once. Also, I think the game looks really good for a Switch game, but the performance does kind of get shaky after some points. Like, I do see a lot of frame rate drops and stuff, but the presentation is very nice. And yeah, overall, I'm really enjoying it so far, and I'm excited to see through the end.
Yeah, I mean, it is a very much a feel-good Nintendo game. It's not meant to be hard or difficult. This is pretty much meant for, you know, E10 plus or whatever. That's what it's rated for. And you have these kids, especially young girls, who have never had a Princess Peach game come out within their lifetime, and they're very excited to play this game. And it's like, okay, yeah, like, we have this game now, and it's pretty good. I mean, obviously, it's not supposed to be hard. It's not supposed to be super difficult. But, you know, like, even for myself, there were some levels where I was getting to, like, the very last heart. I was like, I'm kind of, like, being reckless here. Like, whether it's because whether it's because I'm, like, rushing through the level, or, like, actually, like, genuine, like, challenges ahead of me, like, there's certain things about this game that you will find very, very easy, and then other things where you're like, oh, like, I need to, like, pay attention more, be a little more precise with my platforming and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, it is very, very good. You have, I believe, 10 costumes that you play through, and they all play differently. Even though they are very much slightly different, they all play differently. They all have their own different gimmicks, mechanics, kind of thing. And it's fun. It's a feel-good time. I think the boss fights are definitely a strong point, just because after playing Mario Wonder, where it was literally just Bowser Jr. over and over again, getting this game where it's just like every single boss is a different character, a different sort of pattern, sort of gimmick that you have to follow. The final boss, not going to spoil exactly what it is or what you're going to be doing, but I think that was like the easiest one out of all of them, surprisingly. But still, overall, I have really enjoyed my time with Princess Peach, and I can recommend this game if you are looking for a game like Kirby, something that's just a feel-good, you know, fun time, something that you could sort of just, like, turn your brain off, just have fun doing, you know, little mini-games, platforming here and there, you know, nothing too crazy.
Yeah, I saw someone bring it up on Twitter, too, is it kind of cool that, you know, since this game, you know, it's for everyone, but, you know, mostly, like, smaller children, it's kind of cool, like, it kind of brings in a bunch of different genres, so it could kind of introduce, like, younger audiences to, like, hey, this is what this type of genre would be like, or this is what this is like. And I think that's really cool, you know, and I think it does all those things pretty well, you know, as well. Like, I really enjoyed, like the Thief Peach, like, that was fun with the grapple hook. I really like the Cowgirl Peach as well. Like, I think some of those levels got kind of hard too with the auto scroller ones.
Yes.
Like, oh shit, okay, like, you know, like you said, I kind of got reckless because I was kind of like underestimating the game. Like, oh shit, I'm about like die. Like, not. So but yeah, it's a really good time. I think if you're interested, like you said, in something like Kirby, or if you have like maybe like a smaller child or something, then I think this is a perfect game for them. So yeah, I liked it. So yeah, as a 26-year-old man, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it is definitely a lot of fun. And you could also customize Peach and also Starla. I forget exactly what
the ribbon thing.
Yeah, yeah, I forget exactly what the Star Ribbon Girl's called. But you could customize them sort of how they look, and all of the designs, they look nice. I'll be for real. You know, I think I was using, I think it was like the city pink dress, because I was just like, hey, Peach is pink. You know, they do have like other colored dresses and whatnot, which, you know, if you want to use those, you can. And they do reflect in a majority of the cutscenes as well, which, you know, just like on the presentation side of things. Yes, it doesn't run as well. When the loading screen happens, it's like chugging like really hard, which I found to be very funny. But another thing was just like the voice acting. Like, the voice acting is like pretty good, even though it's very much just like, you know, her just saying like one line things or whatever. I thought that it was like a nice touch. This is a Mario Nintendo game we're talking about, so most of the time anyways, you're going to be reading text boxes and sort of like what the characters are saying. But, you know, for like what the presentation, sort of what it is, and sort of how the game looks and plays overall, it was fine.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, and next podcast I will give my final thoughts on it. But yeah, I think it was a good time. It's a good original game. I'd like to see it. Love to see it. So hopefully Peach gets more games after this. So.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully Peach gets more games, maybe even other side characters as well. You know, maybe bring back the Wario Land games and whatnot.
Yeah, I know that'd be sick.
People love those. But and then I also watched this movie called Immaculate. This is a horror movie with Sydney Sweeney.
That's the only thing I know about it.
Yeah, I mean, if you go on the Wikipedia page, you can actually see that like the movie went through like a lot of like development hell. Like, I think she auditioned for it in like 2014 or something like that.
Holy
so
shit.
Yeah, and then like obviously like she went through a lot of things. She got on Euphoria. She worked with Sony on with that rom-com movie, and I think she worked with another studio to go and get this movie actually made it and everything like that. So, you know, she really did like this script. It's sort of what this movie was trying to tell. But it's pretty much about Sydney Sweeney's character. She becomes a nun because she doesn't really know what she's really doing with her life. And she was like, you know, maybe God has a purpose for me here. And then some really weird and interesting things happen. That's all I'll really say. There are a lot of body horror elements. There's blood. There's, you know, violence and all of this other stuff that you would see from a typical horror movie. It's only an hour, 30 minutes. So if you really want to, you know, just like see a quick one at the movies, go for it. You know, it is obviously April now, so probably not the best time to see a horror movie if it's not Halloween, if you will. But I think that this one was a pretty decent ride, you know, for what it is and sort of how long that it was. I think that some people thought that it should have been longer because it does have like a very like interesting world that it's sort of like building within like this one place. And I'm like, okay, yeah, like I could see that. But I think that for what the film is, like, I think it's fine. Then the next thing that I finally finished was Gen V. I recommended this to my girlfriend because we only watched, I think, like only like two or three episodes. And then I was like, let's like continue watching it. And then once we started watching it, we just didn't stop until we finished all of it. But yeah, I mean, it is a very good spinoff for The Boys. Obviously, it's pretty much just like set within that same universe, but instead it's following a bunch of high school kids at this gifted school with a bunch of supes, and they're all trying to learn how to become a superhero. Yeah, pretty much. And it is very good. Every single character has their own arc and sort of their own story. They're all really interesting to follow. Even though some characters you may think are like sort of like one-off characters that you won't see for like a while, if they keep popping up, you're going to see them a lot, and they're done really, really well. I just want to touch upon Chance Perdomo's passing, because that was very sudden. We finished the series, and then I think a few days later, it was announced that he got into a motorcycle accident, and he unfortunately passed away, which goddamn sucks. And now they're delaying season two indefinitely, which is totally understandable. You know, he was definitely like one of the biggest strong points for this season, and I wonder how they're going to move on with the next season. But you know what, do what you gotta do, take your time, pay your respects more, and do all that shit, because it's just like he was only 27, and like it sucks that, you know, especially since I feel like he was just getting his career started, because obviously he's been on other things, but I think Gen V, along him and his other cast members, this is like their big breakout role, if you will. So, you know, it sucks that he's gone. And to those people that are trying to like cancel him or whatever and say that like, oh, you know, like he was following X, Y, and Z person on his social media accounts, on like his Instagram or whatever, I'm just like, shut the fuck up. Like it actually doesn't matter like what he believed in, whether it was true or not, because it's just like, this guy's dead. Like, he should not be dead at the age of 27, no matter what sort of beliefs or sort of what his views are on social media. But I'm gonna stop there. But yeah, Gen V's very, very, very good. And hopefully, if you have watched The Boys and you haven't watched this yet, go out of your way and watch it. Moving on from there, I have been playing some other games, so I guess I'll get to those first. I've been playing Microworks. This is a party game where it's pretty much a free game. Everyone can download it. I think the party size is up to like 16 per lobby, which is crazy. Jesus. But pretty much you guys are all doing like quick mini games, and they get faster and faster.
WarioWare, right? Yeah,
pretty much. And only one person needs to buy the $10 pass to like host the lobbies, which is fine. So we were playing that with like the four of us, and it was like pretty chaotic and a lot of fun. You really do have to like lock in and like pay attention to like what the hell is happening here. But yeah, games go by quick. It's pretty much, you know, like Damien said, WarioWare mini games, and really, really fast just on your computer. Next game I've been playing is Content Warning. This was another party game that I played, but is also kind of spooky. So it's not necessarily the same thing as, what was the other game, Damien, that you were talking about?
Lethal Company.
It's not exactly like Lethal Company, but it's pretty much just like you guys are trying to go into Spooksville, is what they call it, and you guys are trying to film spooky things that are going on in there. So like weird monsters, creatures, your friends dying or whatever. It's a lot of fun. It definitely has like a different angle from Lethal Company, and the fact that if you survive that day, you get to go back and actually relive all of the footage that was captured, whoever was the camera person that day. So that's like the element that I really like about it. And obviously, like when you upload the videos, depending on the amount of views, you get money. And with that money, you could get like boom mics, you could get more flashlights, all of this other stuff. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. We only really played it after April Fool's because it was free on April Fool's. And I believe the base game is like less than $10 anyways. But for what it is, I mean, like, it is pretty fun if you want something that is adjacent to Lethal Company with like a slightly different angle, but still has like that sort of spooky horror jump scare element to it. Content Warnings is definitely that game. I don't know if it's going to pop off as much as Lethal Company did, but we'll see. It really all depends on if streamers are actually going to pick it up and play it with their friends, because that's usually how these indie games work, where it's like, you know, it could be like a hidden gem for like years and years and years, just like with Among Us. And then once people actually start to play it and sort of figure out the meta or whatever the hell is going on here, then that's when the game becomes popular.
Yeah, it all depends on what the streamers do, honestly.
Yeah. And then the last thing I've been playing a lot of is TFT. Set 11 has come out, and I'll be honest, when I first started playing, I was absolutely dog water. I was getting so mad and frustrated because I was just like, what is going on with this set? I have no idea what's going on. But now I have a better idea of what's happening. And the set itself is a little more structured and less chaotic in some regards, but at the same time, obviously, you know, there's now a meta forming with like a Story Weaver, even Umbral and some other things going on there that are like really, really strong. I've sort of found my little niche. You know, if you find Story Weaver, you got to go Story Weaver, because that's like a guaranteed top four kind of thing. And then the other comps that I've been running is anything with like with Aphelios. I think Aphelios is like a really strong just like carry, and I feel like not a lot of people go him, so I most of the time I'm able to like three star him and whatever. But I started off like legit like bronze for like a solid week, and now I'm like gold three or whatever, so you know, so far so good. But yeah, you know, TFT new set. I think that is always like the most exciting time to get into TFT again, is when the new set happens, because literally no one knows what the fuck's going on. But now people are sort of figuring things out and sort of what's good and what's bad, and they've already released it, the first patch to like sort of nerf and buff things, because people were running a bard comp that was like really fucking annoying. And depending on how you hit it, how early you hit it, you could like easily get top four, but other times you could like bottom out too. So, you know, give and take kind of thing. But yeah, you know, if you want to get into TFT, you can still get into it with this new set. Just do it sooner rather than later is all I'll say.
Yeah, very, very fair. The meta game starts right. I probably should play more TFT. I did enjoy it. I felt like the item system always spooked me, but like whatever, mm-hmm. I'll just get over it.
Yeah, they've definitely made it a lot more user friendly, where like if you right click on items, you could see what items build into what. That's and nice. Sort of like what the recipe is, because even though I still have like a second tab open to like see like what like comps were when I first started playing, now most of it's like in the games, so they don't want you to do that, but obviously people will still do that to a certain extent. But yeah. All right, so now let's get into the general news of things. First up is probably the biggest news from the past 2 weeks is Marvel Rivals. We got a brand new sort of Overwatch clone, but with Marvel characters. It's actually 6v6, which is kind of interesting. And you have a bunch Overwatch. Of Marvel heroes sort of doing a Overwatch-style game. And, I mean, it looks good. There were some controversial things coming out where, like, people said that they previously worked on this game and it was, like, the most weird and messed up project that they've ever worked on. It was really bad work conditions and they didn't get paid or whatever. But, you know, I hope that those people are able to get the justice that they deserve, you know, but for the game itself, I mean, I think it looks fine, you know, for like what it's going for. I don't think it's doing anything spectacular or whatever. Obviously, Spider-Man Twitter went on, you know, their little keyboards and was talking about how the goddamn suit looks bad or whatever. I'm just like, it looks like Spider-Man, right? All right, then it's Spider-Man. I don't care. But yeah, I mean, I think the game will do well as long as the gameplay is actually fun and somewhat balanced.
Yeah. I mean, it's by NetEase and they kind of suck in terms of like monetization and stuff. So we'll mm-hmm. see. I mean, I'm down to like try it. Like, you know, it's free, so might as well. And it's going to be interesting to see how sort of like, you know, it's like an Overwatch clone. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays like in third person, because it's like in third person. Like I saw someone said like Bruce Banner is going to be like D.Va, because he starts as Bruce Banner, then turns into Hulk. So that's kind of funny. No, but it'd be interesting to see how the gameplay actually works, since it's supposed to also be like team up attacks. So if you're like playing as Iron Man, you could team up with Hulk and he could like shoot radiation out of his hands and then you get a powered laser beam. So it got some interesting stuff going on. And I think the graphics look pretty nice. Like, I think a lot of the designs look pretty good. Like, Black Panther looks cool. Iron Man looks pretty sick. So I guess we're just gonna have to see. I mean, that Gundam game, what, Gundam Evolution, I forget what it was called, that Overwatch clone that also came out a few years ago. Like, people actually like that as well, but I also shut down because these games usually don't last very long. But all I would say is I'll try it out. Probably don't spend money on it, though. Probably not a good investment. But it looks fun. I mean, I'm always down to try these, like, hero shooters, like, every now and then. And, you know, if it could be, like, the call-outs would be, like, Spider-Man to your left! Like... It'd be kind of funny. I know we see that in Fortnite or Ivy, but, you know, it'll still be funny, so.
Yeah. I just find it very weird and strange that it's only taken, I guess, like, Marvel in particular, the song to really capitalize on just, like, the gaming space as a whole. Obviously, you know, with the success of the Spider-Man games as of late and some other ones that they've done here and there, you know, it's kind of weird that they're actually going full on with this project in particular and sort of making, like, a PvP 6v6 third-person shooter game. And yeah, I mean, I hope that it at least plays well and functions, you know, properly, but obviously we're just gonna have to wait and see until it actually happens, because, you know, like you said, games like this, it's kind of hard to sort of break into the niche of people already have with their live service games as is. We've talked about this time and time again, but yeah, you know, like, people have like their like 2 to 3 live service games, which is like already a lot as is, and to sort of have people break out of those games in particular and insert a new one in is always going to be tough.
Yeah, especially with the hero shooter genre. I mean, like, Overwatch basically killed like every single hero shooter that almost came out. Like, the only way you could really stand out is if you were like some other genre, like, you know, Rainbow Six Siege is more of a tactical shooter, same thing with Valorant. Like, I want to really characterize that as a hero shooter, even though you have agents, like, it's more of a like CSGO. Overwatch kind of like killed literally everything else, like Paladins. I know it's still around, but like Battleborn got fucked as well. So we'll see how this one does, because I mean, Overwatch 2 doesn't have really great graces with like anyone right now, so maybe it could break in and see how it does. But again, Overwatch still has like, I mean, I at least to me, I feel like it still has really solid gameplay. Like, I feel like no matter how fucked up Blizzard would be with, like, certain stuff, like, they do know how I make, like, a genre. They know how to break into a genre really well and, like, basically, like, capitalize on it. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I won't put too much stock on it. Just play it and have fun when it comes out. That's basically what I'm going to say. All right. So next, we got a leak here. So Sonic Toy Party got leaked. So this is, like, a mobile game, Sonic game, that's going to play, like, Fall Guys. So you're going to have a bunch of little Sonics running around. It's going to be, like, Fall Guys. And, you know, the title thing looks like Toy Story, which everyone kind of bringing up. And, you know, people are, like, complaining, being like, oh, like, it looks so baby and, like, oh, Fall Guys is lame and stuff. But honestly, I'm like, I wouldn't mind if it was on like PC or something, because like, I like Fall Guys, and having like a Sonic having like a Sonic themed Fall Guys kind of sounds like fun. I don't know, like, I'm down for it. I know some people get really pissy about like anything that comes out that's not like a mainline game or whatever, but it's not like Sonic Team is like making this. I don't think it's like some other company, so like, who cares? Yeah. Just have fun, right?
Yeah, I mean, it looks cool, I will admit. You know, I think that Sonic as a brand has obviously transcended as of late because of the movie and sort of Sonic Frontiers and everything like that. So for them to make a Sonic Toy Party Fall Guys game, I mean, I'm down for it. It's obviously going to be on mobile, which I think sucks. But like you said, if it was actually on PC, I honestly would see me, you, and our friends trying it out just for the fun of it. Yeah, because it's like, oh, look, you know, we're doing Fall Guys activities, but with a Sonic theme on it. Obviously, Sonic and Co. are in Fall Guys themselves. But, you know, just to have, like, I guess, the Sonic skin on top of, like, literally everything, I think that that's a lot of fun. But, you know, no official announcement yet for this. So this might be, like, a super-duper early thing that they're working on, but I wouldn't be surprised if this comes out sometime later this year.
Yeah, maybe they might align it with like the movie or something, I don't know. But you know, gotta get that brand synergy and shit.
Yeah. All right, so next bit of news we got here is over 100 contractors at Nintendo of America have been laid off. So I guess they are the last of the big three to be hit with layoffs as a whole, but it seems that they are moving away from a large part of their playtesting team, and they're sort of just laying them off no matter how long that they've been here. Some have been there for over 10 years, sort of making sure that games are running properly and, you know, make sure that the games meet up to the Nintendo seal of quality, if you will. But it sucks that these people were affected by it, even though they weren't necessarily full-on employees. They were still contractors. They were still getting paid by Nintendo, but they are giving them severance packages for them being affected. And they also said that Nintendo seems to have no new first party games testing right now, so they're probably getting ready for the Switch 2, which is kind of interesting. So I mean, you know, obviously it sucks that these people got laid off, and I hope that they're able to find some place in the games industry if they want to stay in it, or somewhere else where they could, you know, pay the bills and actually live. But yeah, I don't even know what the fuck I'm trying to say here, but yeah, it fucking sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it probably doesn't help that the Switch 2, you know, there's so many rumors about the Switch 2 lately. Like, it was supposed to come out this year, but they're delaying it just so they have more games for the thing to come out, which is a smart move, in my opinion. Like, you know, I think launching a new console with games probably is a smart idea, but it probably is impacting a lot of current workers right now because there's, like, no work to be had. Also, mm-hmm. kind of kills the rumor that a lot of people were hoping Metroid Prime 4 would be, like, one of the last Switch games, but at this point, I think it's going to be a Switch 2 game. It might be a cross-gen game, I don't know. But either way, it sucks that all these workers are losing their jobs. I mean, I think we talked about it like maybe a year or two ago when Nintendo doesn't really treat their contractors super well to begin with. Mm-hmm. So that kind of sucks. But at least they're getting like some nice like severance, I guess. That's always, you know, at least something, right? But again, this year has and last year keeps the ball rolling of like so many layoffs and so many awful things for the AAA like space. So I guess we'll see when it ends. Hopefully it ends soon. Like if it keeps bleeding out, like I said before, like we could definitely see like a AAA crash, like I said before. But that's, you know, that's just how it is, I guess, right now. The gaming industry is really volatile. A lot of companies are at the moment just because of the huge boom COVID provided. And now people are back to work and, you know, they're not seeing those huge profit margins like that we had during COVID because people are actually working and not just playing games. So, yeah, it just sucks. So not even Nintendo was immune to it. So.
Yeah.
All right. And speaking of other things I thought were dead. So Saber Interactive CEO says the KOTOR remix of this Knights of the Old Republic is still alive and well. So, you know, this was announced like fucking forever ago. I don't even know when this was announced. Oh, 2021.
Yeah.
So it was announced in 2021. We got like the Revan, you know, he was just like, oh, look at this. And then it's going to be a remake. And, you know, this has went through hell. It's been like dead. It's been paused. It's been revived again. Aspyr was making it, I think. And then, you know, they weren't. So it was like a whole bunch of crazy stuff going on. I don't even know who's making it anymore. But like, I know Saber said, but like, I don't know if like what company in particular. Mm-hmm. But either way, hopefully this does happen. But even, you know, when games go through so much shit like this, it's like, is it going to be good? Like, probably not. Which sucks because, you know, I was really hoping for a KOTOR remake to like be good because I heard nothing but good things about it. But the gameplay just feels so fucking old to me. Like, it's really hard to play. So I was really hoping for a remake that really just modernized the combat system and just makes it, you know, just more available for newer people. Mm-hmm. But at this point, I'm not really holding my breath that this is going to come out. Or if it does come out, it's probably going to be like shit. So, but I guess we'll see. You know, miracles happen. So we'll see. Hopefully it's good, but I'm not holding my breath on that.
Yeah, I mean, this remake has, you know, seen multiple headlines, anything related to not the game coming out. It's sort of nothing has ever been concrete about this game other than the fact that they're making it. We don't know what's happening with it. People were very excited when it was first announced, obviously, because Knights of the Old Republic has a really huge soft spot for a lot of Star Wars fans and people that have played those games back in the day. So the fact that it was announced that, hey, we're going to remake it for PS5 and PC is like, okay, cool. And now it's like, well, we don't know what's going on with it. It's in development, it's out of development, they don't even know what the hell they're doing with this project anymore, and, you know, there's more about the game's development development hell than the game itself, which is kind of crazy. But, you know, if he says it's still alive and well, then hey, you know what, we don't have much else to go off of as of right now. But, you know, all we could hope for is that this remake actually does happen at some point within our lifetime and people are actually happy with the product that does get delivered, because obviously, you know, we did see what happened with the Battlefront Classic Collection. That was very much like a simple remaster and they somehow messed that up. Obviously, this is a full-blown remake, so there's going to be a lot more work, a lot more time put into it to make sure that it actually does do well and actually meets fans' expectations. When that will happen, who the hell knows? Me and Damien might be 60 years old at that point, but hopefully it's sooner rather than later.
Yeah, hopefully it just comes out, but we'll see.
All right, so the last thing we want to talk about is The Spider Within, a Spider-Verse story. So I think a lot of people really forgot about this, and then I saw it on Twitter where people were like, do you guys know what happened with this thing? Is this going to come out? And then I think like literally 24 hours, Sony was like, all right, we're going to drop it on YouTube tomorrow for free. And I was like, all right, cool. It looks like they also kind of forgot to release this for us. But hey, you know what? It's here. It's on YouTube for free if you want to watch it. It's only 7 minutes long. But it's pretty much about Miles Morales going through a panic attack and sort of him going through the anxiety and sort of the responsibility that he holds within his own personal life, but also just trying to be Spider-Man. And it is awesome to see them make a movie like this, or sort of a short film like this, that really does sort of showcase it in a very tasteful way. Personally, I haven't really experienced like really super duper bad anxiety or sort of sleep paralysis or anything like that, but just by reading the comments on the video, it seems like that people are like, yeah, you know, like, this is pretty accurate. So I'm glad that this sort of hit home for some people, and also it was just done really, really well.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I never also had a panic attack. Like, I never had one that bad. I also never had like a sleep paralysis stuff. Like, I never went through that. But just from reading the comments, it seems like a lot of people like agree, like, that's usually how it is. I read a lot of things about that, like how it's just like a dark silhouette and just like looking at you, which is like super creepy. Like, the visuals are really great. And I mean, you could say that about any Spider-Verse project, but I think they really nailed how creepy and like helpless you feel during that whole experience. And I think they did a great job with it. Again, just in this tiny little like 7 minute short, I think they did a great job sort of like expressing all the emotions I wanted to. You know, from Miles talking to his dad's like, ah, I don't want to hang out right now, to him having the whole panic attack and be like, you know what, maybe let's talk about some things. Like, I think it was a nice little story that really, like, you know, ties into not just Miles, but just like basically anyone, right? Like, obviously we can't relate to like being Spider-Man, but we could relate to all the stress in life and like how it's good to just talk it out sometimes to hold it. I mean, I'm victim of that. I don't like to talk about a lot of things, but you know, it's nice to like let it out sometimes to someone, so you don't like fucking explode. So you know, it's really nice. I mean, I don't have like horrible panic attacks like that, but I could, you know, empathize with the anxiety and stuff. So yeah.
Yeah, you can still relate to a certain extent to what other people are going through, even though you haven't gone through it yourself. And yeah, I think that the film really did a great job sort of showcasing that. And yeah, I mean, I'm kind of rewatching it right now, and I think the moment Miles walks in, I think the lady on the TV is actually going through that. There's like a black silhouette, I guess, of like the killer, and then I guess that sort of reflected within his sleep paralysis sort of moment. But yeah, I mean, very well done. I'm glad that, you know, they made this in particular. And you know, whenever Beyond the Spider-Verse comes out, you know, I'll wait 5 years or however fucking long it takes, because I think that's how long it took between 2018 and 2023, right? Something like that. So you know,
crazy how they wanted Beyond the Spider-Verse to come out like now, like like a year to make that movie. I'm like, there's no way. I'm so happy. Like, it's going to take 5 years. Like, I don't know what they thought it was going to be. Oh, no, next year will be done as well, because we're working on them at the same time, when they're like, no. It's like, we barely finished Across the Spider-Verse. What are you talking about? So,
yeah.
But I'm happy this adds another great addition to the sort of Spider-Verse sort of saga, I guess. And I think it does a good job with Miles' character. Like, they done with all the other movies. So great watch. You know, if you want to watch it. If you have like a arachnophobia, like, probably like don't. Because I was just like, god damn, I could only imagine if you were like horrified of spiders. But
yeah,
it's a great short film. I really enjoyed it.
All right. So is there anything else you'd like to add, good sir, to this very short Travis and Damien podcast?
Yeah, very short one today. Not a lot of news. But yeah, no, that's everything I have.